Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, July 12th, 2016. I am Jason Powell on ProWrestling.net. Today, my full review of last night's WWE Raw. The list of WWE Cruiserweight Classic Tournament alternates, and it includes a former TNA wrestler, Matt Hardy's response to the New Day and Wyatt Family Compound video that was clearly inspired by Final Deletion. Will Pruitt's pause review of Raw will be available a little bit later today, and we should have the WWE Raw ratings available as well. Also, a reminder, Zach Zimmerman is going to have live coverage of both the NXT television show and the WWE Cruiserweight Classic coming up on Wednesday night as both shows air on WWE Network. I am going to be addressing the potential spoiler regarding the general manager of SmackDown. I'm not going to do it right away, though. I'm going to save it for late in the show, give you guys a big spoiler warning. I'll close with that just for the benefit of those who are trying to avoid all spoilers regarding, well, anything that has something to do with the draft. And this one, it's interesting. It's something we've talked about before, but I'll leave it at that. I just wanted to make sure you guys know that it will be addressed coming up here a little bit later on in this podcast. Before we get into my WWE Raw hit list and Raw bonus thoughts, though, I do want to mention that TNA Impact Wrestling is taking place tonight. I will have live coverage on the site. It's a big show for Impact. It's the follow-up to the record-breaking Final Deletion show. It was record-breaking in that it drew the most viewers for a single Impact broadcast on Pop TV since the show moved there in January. TNA is advertising Lashley against Eddie Edwards for both of the TNA and X Division championships, and X Division Spot Fest for number one contendership. It's a ladder match. And they're also advertising a four-way for the Knockouts Championship with Gail Kim, Jade, and let me see, Marty Bell challenging Sienna. Hey, I got it. And also a fight between Drew Galloway and EC3. Again, live coverage of that. I got to say, on paper, not impressed. Someone who's been praising Impact for the better part of 6 months now, you know, more often than not, I've enjoyed the quality of the show. And even if I hadn't been, I mean, you got to give them the benefit of the doubt, obviously. We'll see how it plays out. Doesn't mean it's not going to be a great show. But I do see a few flaws in what they're promoting here. Number one, and I mentioned this on my Twitter page, I couldn't resist. How do you not advertise Matt Hardy front and center on the website? I believe he's delivering a promo or something on this show, yet you go to the TNA website and there's nothing. There's nothing promoting Broken Matt coming off the Final Deletion angle. It's insanity to me. It's more insane than Matt Hardy's character. Now, maybe they'll announce something later on in the day and they'll do something on the website, but I mean, boy, I would have been all over that. I would have had something up. As soon as they saw that thing caught on, I would have let people know, and again, put it front and center, that Broken Matt was going to be appearing on the live Impact. They're calling it live. Arizona, same day tape delay. So close, but not exactly live. But still, hopefully there's not going to be any issues with Pop TV this time. But I'm looking forward to the show, but that one just is a real head-scratcher. The other thing I noticed is, why is it okay for Drew Galloway and EC3 to announce that they're going to have a fight this week on Impact when they were suspended last week because of a fight that they had 2 weeks ago? They had a fight backstage, and it was like this really tame fight. Had they just aired it, you wouldn't have thought anything of it. It's just you would have moved on with your day. It would not have been something you'd be talking about coming out of Impact at all. And they were suspended for it, even though things like that happen constantly in wrestling. But now they're going to have a fight. And it's not being billed as a street fight. It's just billed as a fight. So, whatever that means. And I guess the one that really jumps out to me, aside from Matt Hardy not being on the main page, but this is bigger to me than the whole fight issue. How can you expect us to care about anybody in the X Division or even the Knockouts title matches when they're all just kind of lumped together again? Now, Marty Bell and Jade has not been working as a singles program, and so I'm a little more lenient when it comes to the four-way. I prefer singles matches, clearly, but I'm a little more lenient. It's the X Division is the one that really gets me. It's the same guys competing in another spot fest. It's just the usual suspects. It's Rockstar Spud, Zema Ion DJZ. That's right. They won't call him Zema Ion. He's a wrestling DJ, because that'll work. And then you have Trevor Lee, Andrew Everett, Mandrews, and Braxton Sutter competing in a ladder match to determine the number one contender for the X Division title. I think all of these guys just competed in that Ultimate X match that aired on last week's show. That's all they do with these guys. They spot fest. They haven't taken any time to establish who Trevor Lee is. They have some talent there. I mean, Spud's a great act, but he's just kind of being thrown into this abyss known as the X Division, where they just have these spot fest matches and they don't establish characters for anyone. They're trying to do it right now with Eddie Edwards, but it clearly looks like it's because they have plans for him as a singles guy. We'll see what happens when Davey Richards gets back. But I mean, as much as I praised, or as many things as I praised that Impact has done, Mike, I feel like every week I'm criticizing what they're doing with the X Division, and they just don't change anything. They just keep throwing these guys out there in these random spot fest matches, and it's just not going to work. You have to establish the characters of these wrestlers. All right, let's get into my WWE Raw hit list. I mentioned on Twitter, at Pro Wrestling Net, warn people, here comes the hate, because I did not like last night's edition of WWE Raw. We will start with the hits, though. There are a couple of them. John Cena's surprise appearance is number one. A well-executed surprise appearance by Cena. AJ Styles played it great by telling Enzo Amore and Big Cass that Cena didn't care about them because he was too busy with his ESPY hosting duties. The gotcha smile that Styles flashed when the club had Enzo surrounded was perfect. The fans popped huge when Cena's music hit, and he made a big save. My only complaint about the segment is that the beatdown of the club felt rushed. The crowd was red hot, and they would have been pumped if the babyface trio had worked over one of the heels with their respective finishers. Still, though, a very good segment and excellent use of John Cena. The only other hit, Kevin Owens against Cesaro. I had to laugh at WWE for advertising every Raw match but this one on the Raw pre-show. Do they really think that the Lucha Dragons against Bondongo and Tyler Breeze is going to create more buzz than this match? Anyway, the clean pinfall was a nice surprise, and it's perfectly logical given that Owens has the big match at Battleground, whereas Cesaro is not even advertised at this point. The angle with Owens and Sami Zayn was well done. It was classic Owens in that he got what he wanted by having Sami removed from ringside, yet he just had to rub it in by making his entrance while Sami was being escorted up the ramp. Now we're into the misses section. We start with Shane McMahon and Stephanie McMahon as commissioners. The McMahon family drama will never end. In a hilarious twist, WWE is mirroring its own creative bureaucracy. Vince sits atop the mountain and pits his children against one another as commissioners, and now the kids get to hire their own general managers to feud against one another. It's bad enough that we had two authority figures dominating the storylines during the authority era, but now we're going to have four authority figures featured regularly on television. Hell, if they really want to torture viewers, they can reunite the authority to run the Raw brand together. 3 hours, half the wrestlers, and at least one overexposed heel face of the brand. What could possibly go wrong? Do they want viewers to hate Raw because Stephanie is running it? Are they really so worried about SmackDown Live that they intend to load it up with babyface authority figures, give it a fresh coat of paint from a production standpoint, and a bunch of fresh faces? SmackDown will be fine. SmackDown doesn't have the albatross that is Raw's third hour, nor will it have Monday Night Football as competition. Raw's the brand I worried about the moment they announced the split, and now they are giving viewers a reason to see it as the brand to root against. Brock Lesnar follow-up is our next miss. How did Vince McMahon not tell Lesnar that if he wanted to fight at UFC, then he had to appear on Raw 2 nights later? This was a huge missed opportunity. At the very least, I thought they would have told us that Lesnar would appear at the draft next week. For all the Raw viewers know, he's not appearing until SummerSlam, long after the bloom will be off the mainstream rose. This is the most buzz that Brock has had since he defeated Undertaker at WrestleMania. Rather than going all out to keep it going, WWE actually found a way to extinguish it. The next miss is the Wyatt family battling New Day at the Wyatt family compound. I loved the Wyatt family house that WWE used early in the group's main roster run. This was just an open field. And while the visual of the Wyatt's followers holding lanterns while wearing masks at the end of the segment looked cool, it was hard to view this as anything more than a joyless knockoff of the TNA Final Deletion angle. Make no mistake, I'm happy they didn't try to mimic the campy approach that TNA took with Broken Matt versus Brother Nero, but WWE really should have waited to run this at a later date when the Final Deletion wasn't so fresh in the minds of viewers. I'm guessing the defense would be that Impact had 410,000 viewers, so this was new to most WWE fans. Keep in mind, however, that the Final Deletion caught on via social media as well, and it wouldn't surprise me if nearly half the Raw viewing audience was at least familiar with the angle. On the plus side, those who could get past the comparison saw the Wyatts presented in a more dark and violent manner. It's also good to see New Day are taking a more serious approach for this feud rather than simply goofing on the Wyatts in their usual silly style. The next miss is the Rollins report. It wasn't clever, And it didn't generate any good heat for Rollins. It was a corny gag that wasn't even executed in an entertaining way. WWE has dropped the ball in promoting the first ever triple threat between the Shield members. Roman Reigns getting himself suspended didn't help the cause, but why not use video packages to help sell viewers on the history between these three men? It was nice to see Dean Ambrose deliver a straightforward promo rather than go for laughs, but WWE has to know that Rollins and Ambrose just don't feel fresh together. Their match is surely going to be entertaining, but the build to it just doesn't feel new and exciting, and nothing they have done has left me anxious to see the Battleground main event. Next miss, Sheamus against Zack Ryder. Ryder was advertised for a U.S. title match going into Raw, and then he decided to ask for the same title match. Okay, obviously plans changed, but who really thought it was a good idea to have Sheamus destroy Ryder right before they announced that Ryder would be challenging Rusev for the U.S. Championship? The idea was that Ryder was on a roll after scoring a couple of pinfalls last week. He didn't have much momentum, but whatever he had was completely erased by this lopsided loss. The next miss is Darren Young winning the Battle Royal. The idea of Young winning the Battle Royal while wrestling on Raw for the first time since Bob Backlund became his life coach looks fine on paper. Having him win the match in such a completely fluky manner left me with no desire to see him face a heel champion who gets most of his wins in a fluky manner. The U.S. and Intercontinental Championships usually feel like mid-card titles. This month, they feel like undercard titles. Sasha Banks and Dana Brooke are the next miss. It felt like they were trying to elevate both women in the same match. Sasha is being spotlighted for a match with Charlotte, yet she was showing frustration in her inability to put away Dana Brooke. I get that they're having a rematch on SmackDown, and they wanted to make this match seem competitive, but it went too long, and I didn't feel like Sasha came out of it looking better than she did going in. And the final miss is Titus O'Neil against Heath Slater. I guess the idea is that Titus now has raw power, given the way he was just throwing Slater around the ring throughout this entire match. Nothing matters when the social outcasts are involved. No one takes them seriously, so beating them means nothing. Here's hoping the outcasts are going to be broken up via the draft so that they won't be saddled with this awful gimmick. And don't get me wrong, I assume they will still be booked as glorified enhancement wrestlers, but they would actually mean more as singles act than they do as a trio. Okay, before we get into the WWE Raw bonus thoughts, I do want to mention that .NET members are listening to my 50-plus minute audio review of last night's WWE Raw, where I break it down segment by segment. They are also listening to my 50-plus minute Q&A audio show, where they submit questions, both pro wrestling and then some non-wrestling fun at the end of the show. We separate the two, so we get the wrestling started first and then just have some non-wrestling fun at the end. Like I mentioned earlier, the members will hear my TNA Impact Wrestling audio review this week. It'll be exclusive to the member side. You guys are going to be hearing Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett tomorrow with the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast is the plan. So there is already going to be a lot of exclusive audio content for the first half of the week, and then coming up later this week, if all goes according to plan, I'm not going to jinx myself, but I will tell you a special guest plan for the .NET Weekly audio show. I believe the plan is to record on Friday, and once it's in the can, I'll let you guys know, but if it's all scheduled, everything looks good, but I don't like to jinx myself and then have it fall through and look bad. So I'll just tell you a special guest plan, somebody that may know a thing or two about the WWE draft and, well, some other things. So really looking forward to that. It's a returning guest. I'll just leave it at that. And no, it is not Jim Ross. I'd love to have Jim Ross back, and I'm sure we will, but somebody else. I'll just leave it at that. But the membership rates for the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net start at $7.50 for 1 month. If you are interested in saving yourself a little bit of coin, take the six-month option. You want to save yourself the most amount of money, take our annual option. You bring that average price down to $5.50 per month. All the details are available in the sign-up area at ProWrestling.net. It's right there on the main page. You can't miss it. And if you ever have any questions, you can shoot me an email, dotnetjason@gmail.com. That's dotnetjason@gmail.com. Or hit me up on Twitter, at ProWrestlingNet. All right, let's get into the Raw bonus thoughts. Let's start with this. I mean, have you seen anything during the build to WWE's draft that has left you feeling like, oh, this is in good hands. They've got a plan. They know what they're doing. This is going to be great. I mean, first, they tell us there's going to be COOs rather than general managers. Then they announce the McMahon kids are commissioners rather than COOs. And then they announce that the commissioners will have general managers serving underneath them. And granted, hey, it's just a silly debate over titles that they probably spent way too much time on. It's not that really has me worried. It's just everything I mentioned in the Raw hit list about the McMahons being front and center. Let's talk about the short list of wrestlers who have actually addressed this. I might be missing some. Here's the ones I recall, and maybe you recall one or two others at most. New Day, they talked about it very early on when this thing was just announced. Seth Rollins and The Miz actually talked about it last night a little bit. But are the club worried they could be split up? Enzo and Big Cass? I mean, it's just something that everyone should be talking about, and they're not. We don't even know the rules of the draft. Are champions eligible to be drafted? I get questions like this all the time. I don't know the answers for people. I wish I did. I wish WWE would just lay it out, but they're not, because I don't think they've really, I don't think they've, like, signed off on anything. I wouldn't be, I mean, this is Vince McMahon. He's notorious for changing his mind. He even joked about it on Raw last night when it came to assigning the commissioners. And it's, I'm sorry, it's not funny. You know, I mean, this is a huge deal for WWE. And fans are excited by the possibilities of the roster split, but not because of anything WWE has done leading up to it. It's kind of frightening right now. I hope it goes well. I hope I'm sitting looking back at it going, this was great. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to look, even if it's done perfectly and good things come from it, it's not like I'm going to be able to look back and go, oh, you know what? They actually did do a great job of promoting this and getting people excited about it. They haven't. They failed. And there's only, what, 1 week to go. SmackDown tonight. So, SmackDown tonight, Raw next week. That's it. That's the bulk of your hype, aside from network or whatever. But that's it. They failed miserably when it comes to really getting people fired up about this. Well, unless you're a big fan of authority figures. In that case, you're getting four. Congratulations. Now, this may sound a little bit hypocritical here. Because I did say they should have done something to advertise when Brock Lesnar would be returning to WWE. Hopefully it's not SummerSlam. I mean, that's insane. But I gotta say, while I'm all for long-term booking, advertising matches in advance, I think they're starting to go a little overboard with just how much they are advertising right now. And it might be something we need to get used to with the brand split and everything else they have going on. But during last night's Raw alone, they told us about the Cruiserweight Classic, the big NXT main event for Wednesday, various matches for Battleground, a match in a talk show segment for SmackDown, a match for SummerSlam, the WWE draft, John Cena hosting the ESPYs, and next week's Raw main event. Oh, and the McMahon siblings will name the general managers on Raw next week as well. All kind of overwhelming. I mean, I'm somebody who, like, can't keep track of what I have planned the next two weekends, but, and I suspect I'm not alone. Well, or maybe the part about what I have planned the next two weekends. I have a terrible memory. Hopefully you guys are better than I am when it comes to that. But surely there's some fans out there feeling really overwhelmed by this, all the information they're throwing at them. Super fans, okay, you know, they probably got it all jotted down. They've got their life scheduled around it. But the casual fans would be, like, just overwhelmed, like, what? Settle down. I don't know what's happening when anymore. And again, I think it's only going to get a little bit worse as time goes on here with the brand split, as they're going to be bouncing so many things off you and cramming it all into two nights. Okay, it is that point where it's time to get into the identity, the potential identity of the SmackDown general manager, the person who will be working under Shane McMahon in the storylines. So if you are avoiding all spoilers regarding the draft and the SmackDown general manager, check out now. Because nothing else, no other talk other than this coming up here. So I just wanted to give you guys a heads up. You've been warned. The WWE app's recap of WWE Raw and the whole SmackDown commissioner announcement last night actually included a paragraph in the header that, seems like it sure gave away the identity of the SmackDown general manager. It says, the Yes Movement takes over SmackDown Live. Oops. Nothing official here, but it does go along with what we've been saying here on this podcast, really, since the draft was the split and the draft were announced, that Daniel Bryan was at the top of WWE's wish list. That, you know, the question was it something he would be interested in doing, simply because, he's kind of moved on. He's doing the Cruiserweight Classic, but would this be something that he would want to do? And so it's not a huge surprise in that regard, it's not a huge surprise as far as, like, WWE wanting him. The fact that if they can get him to sign off on it, kind of is. And I wonder if that's part of the reason, they pair him and Shane together. Is I don't think Shane wants to work every week. It's not like we've seen him every week since he's come back to WWE, and I doubt Daniel Bryan does. So I don't know that we need to have the writers having access to a general manager or a commissioner every single week. It'd just be nice if they could, write around it instead of using that usual crutch. But I get it if that's the case. I don't know what they're doing on the Raw side. Triple H, the reunited authority, I can't say it does anything for me. And I do want to add, I guess, one little thing here is something I've talked about too. I mentioned this on the live cast last week with Wade Keller over at the PW Torch live cast. It feels like the one thing that Raw, the Raw SmackDown draft lacks is that home team feel. I've kind of used a comparison when I watch the NFL draft. I'm a Minnesota Viking fan, and so I'm rooting for, hoping the Vikings draft well. I'm excited to see their picks. With Raw and SmackDown, there really hasn't been any reason to be excited when one guy goes to one brand over the other. And so I will say maybe, just maybe, that they are establishing Stephanie as a heel right now so that fans kind of root for Shane's side, at least have some rooting interest during the draft, and then they'll kind of pull back on Stephanie being a heel. Problem is, they've kind of already done that with Stephanie, and it doesn't work. People saw through it. It's just, they haven't really gone all out where she's come out and cut the, delivered the mea culpa, where she's just apologetic for everything she's done, and it's a new Stephanie and all that, and people actually think, maybe something has changed. They can try that approach. I just wonder if they'll put someone with her who is a baby face so that you're not rooting against the Raw brand. I mean, it's one thing for one night to hope that SmackDown does well because of Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan. But long term, Raw is a 3-hour show. Again, Raw is the show that's going to be opposed by Monday Night Football. Do you really want to have it be known as the brand that you root against because you're hoping that Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan do well? It's kind of a strange thing. But anyhow, that is what they have. That's what they listed. We'll see if it happens. Could be a red herring. I guess it's possible, but Daniel Bryan is a guy that they've mistakenly listed, I think, on the app. Hey, finally, please remember, subscribe to this daily podcast. Please rate and review us on iTunes or anywhere else that allows those type of reviews. It is always appreciated when you help spread the word about ProWrestling.net and this podcast. And again, a big thanks to everyone who has just taken the time to give a quick retweet whenever I run the link to the podcast on the Twitter page, which again is at ProWrestlingNet. Again, the guys will be back tomorrow. It'll be Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett with the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, so check back for that on Wednesday, and join me tonight for live coverage of TNA Impact Wrestling. Take care.